Hello everyone, this is Matthew Frehley with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the Wednesday, February 10th market recap. And tonight's update, as you can see via the table of contents at the top, is separated into five sections. First, I'm going to talk about the general market analysis pretty quickly. Number two, I'm going to talk about the previous bull market from 2003 to 2007. I'm going to, in particular, talk about the consolidation phase that occurred in 2004. The reason why is I've had quite a few questions about that. A lot of people are comparing that market, early bull market there, to this market. So I'll show you a couple charts. Item number three, I'm going to go over some market indicators and key market indicators. Number four, I'm going to go over some the long-term interest rates and bonds and some interesting things that I'm seeing there. And number five, I'm going to talk about gold stocks, and the bullish percent gold miners index, the BPGDM. And next, as you can see just below this, I've included some useful dynamic stock chart links for your use. And a lot of you get use out of these, and so here you go. Again, these are very useful because you can click on these links and you can see many of the same charts in this newsletter. You can have them on your own. And the good thing is these will update automatically each day. For example, you can see I have the bullish percent gold miner index charts in here, BPGDM, as well as our long-term trending indicator, NYSI long-term trending system chart, you know, which is good for 401ks. So this chart will update forever. As long as you keep the link, it'll update. So here you go. And let's go ahead and move on. So go ahead and start with item number one, is just the general market analysis. Again, today was a ho-hum day. You know, know-nothing day. The market moved up a little bit in the morning, then it sold off in the afternoon. It was a choppy day. At the close, the major indexes all lost about 0.2%. So really a know-nothing day. The market, you know, is consolidated and building energy into some kind of triangle. And so I'm going to start out with tonight just some short-term charts, then we're just going to move up. We're going to start with a 5-minute chart, move up to a 15, then a 60-minute chart, then a daily chart. And that's it. I'm going to keep it real simple. So chart number one, again, each chart has a number on the corresponding upper left-hand side, is a 5-minute S&P 500 chart. You can see that it's forming into a symmetrical triangle pattern. And so if this pattern plays out, more than likely it would probably break out to the upside. And so that's what I'm watching for tomorrow. Downtrend line is resistance, and I got a couple uptrend lines here. Now, if it were to break down strongly, break the lower trend lines, that would be bearish, and we'd most likely sell down and break the recent lows. But for now, I favor at least some kind of move to the upside. So we'll see how that plays out. And chart number two is a 15-minute chart of the S&P 500. So you can see it's the same chart, but it's just extended out further so you can see more detail. And I have the dynamic link of this chart just above. So you can see the same triangle here in blue. And you can also see that I drew some trend lines here in red. It looks like a triangle, but it's not technically a triangle. I drew a downtrend line from the February 2nd high and February 3rd and February 2nd high. As well as an uptrend line from the February 5th low. So those are the resistance and support areas after the triangle is broken. Okay, so if this triangle breaks out to the upside, next resistance would be around that red downtrend line and the 200 MA, which by the way is about equivalent to a never mind the 200 EMA. I was going to talk about something else. But anyway, so next resistance, if this triangle breaks out to the upside, would be that, you know, that moving average in the red downtrend line. And then after that would be the gap up there around 1085. So that would be a target potentially to the upside if this triangle breaks out. Now after that, then resistance would move up to around the 1095 area. Okay, if the market truly is going to go lower, it shouldn't get too much above that 1095 area. Really, you don't want to see it get too much above 1085. Also on this chart of note is the 144 stochastics at the bottom. You can see how it crossed back on February 1st or February 5th for a buy signal when it went above 20%, and it's currently consolidating below this 50% level. So if it gets above that 50% level, generally it'll always, almost always go above the 80% level. So that's how the stochastics tend to work. As you know, here at Breakpoint Trades, we use stochastics a little bit differently than a lot of places. We use a 60-period stochastics and sometimes a 144 stochastics. By the way, those are both Fibonacci numbers. And I like slowed down versions of the stochastics because regular stochastics I find too choppy. So I like to really slow it down. And a 144 stochastics, if you think about it, is 10 times, it's a factor of 10 times slower than 14.3 stochastics. Moving on, chart number 3 is a 60-minute chart of the S&P 500. So you can see even more detail here. The main resistance level is the downtrend line from the mid-January high, as you can see. And that comes in a little above, right around that 1075 area. So if the S&P 500 moves higher, that downtrend line is big resistance. So that's the first thing to watch for tomorrow. Now, if we can break out of that, the next thing to watch would be the 38% Fibonacci retracement at 1082. And after that, of course, would be up around 10, would be the 1085 area. And then, of course, there's main resistance up there around 1105. So that's what to watch for. As you know, the market had a, we've been positioned short on the market since it broke the 1130 area on the S&P 500 back there in early January. You can see the blue area up there in the chart. That was our area where we positioned short via the one times short ETF, or Barry inverse ETF for the S&P 500, the SH, and the PSQ, which is the NASDAQ one-time Barry ETF. And we're going to go ahead and maintain those short positions because, again, they're only one-time ETFs. They're not two- and three-time ETFs. And we're going to give them a little room. So now, if the S&P 500 was to go way up into these levels, you know, above that 1090 area and above that 1105 area, then we'll take them off. But for now, we're willing to give them a little room because, you know, the S&P 500 closed at 1068. We established those around 1070, so we're about 60 points in the black. We're pretty good. And, you know, if you want to take half of those positions off, please feel free. There's many ways to trade the watch list. And regarding the other trade ideas in a watch list, trade those independently of the market. So chart number 4 is a daily chart of the S&P 500. And this is a nice simple chart. A couple key things to point out here. First off, the Arun oscillator to top, as you can see, has done a good job at keeping you in the major trend from last year when the market bottomed in March of 2009. This indicator gave a buy signal in late March. Not at the bottom, but you know, about a few weeks off. Pretty good. It gave you a quick whipsaw in July, but it got you right back long in mid-July. Kept you long the whole time until January 22nd of this year. So that's been a very nice indicator. You know, for those of you who are trading your 401ks, that was a pretty good signal. But anyway, it gave you a short signal there, which also corresponded with a break of the S&P 500 below that 1130 support area. And you can see that you had a nice rising wedge on the S&P 500 with negative divergence. So everything correlated nicely there with a short. Anyway, this indicator is obviously still on a sell signal. And it will remain on a sell signal until it gets back above zero. So if you want to stay short, you want to keep your SH short then on the S&P 500, then if you want to keep it until that goes above zero, feel free. Your choice. And a couple other things to point out are the 1334 exponential moving averages. You can see those have done a very good job at keeping you in major trends. They actually crossed ironically, just looking at this chart, about the same time the Arun did. They crossed in late March for a buy signal and gave you a little whipsaw in July, but then went long again. And they also crossed here in late January for a sell signal. And they are pointing down. So that is a bearish sign. So when you look at the chart here, you can see the S&P 500 is in a downtrend channel. And the moving averages are pointing down. If we break out of this channel, then we can rally up. The bear case would have us rally up and form a lower high and then come down again. Okay. And there's also major support down there if we do sell off again, down around that 1025 area, anywhere around that 200-day moving average. One positive thing is, finally, that the 60-period stochastics at the bottom is below 20%. That also gave you a nice sell signal. You can see how that corresponded or almost occurred at the same time as the S&P 500 broke its wedge, rising wedge, and the Arun cross. So everything crossed almost at the same time there. So that's nice to see. So anyway, case in point, the downtrend remains. The indicators remain on a sell signal. Nothing's changed in the daily chart. Chart number 5 is a short-term market indicator. It's the put-call ratio. And I put it on here along with the S&P 500. And the put-call ratio is getting up here a little bit. It's up here. This is the put-call ratio plotted as a 9-day moving average. And it's getting up here about 0.96. And you can see during the last year, during the bull market, the strong uptrend, every time it got up into these levels, the market had some kind of bottom or major bottom. You can see it happened in March. You can see it happened in July, October, and November. Now, if the market truly has a major trend change, then it won't bottom here, because in 2008, you know, the put call stayed up at much higher levels. So, you know, the onus is on the bulls. You know, if the market, if this is simply a bullish pullback in the market and it goes back up, then this the put call will be pointing to a bottom here. But if the trend has really changed, which is possible because the 1334 moving average has crossed over, we've had other key indicators cross over, then you know, this isn't really giving a good buy signal, but it's just something to point out. Now, chart number 6 and 7 are, I'm going to discuss the previous bull market from 2000, that occurred from 2003 to 2007. I had some questions about that. And also the, so here you go. So chart number 6 shows you the early portion of the last bull market from 2003 to 2007. This chart shows you the 2003 and the 2004 portion only. And you can see after that long rally in 2003, the S&P 500 basically topped out around March, and then it entered a 10-month consolidation phase. It really topped out in, let's say, January. But then it entered this really long, choppy consolidation phase where it sold off, rallied, formed a lower high, sold off, rallied again, formed a lower high, sold off, formed basically a large bull flag or downtrend channel. And then after then it broke out in early November and then rallied. The point is, after the long initial strong rally of that early bull market, it had to consolidate. And there's a lot of people that are comparing this current market to the previous market in 2004, which I don't think it is. But in the very best case, let's say it was, our current market would probably have to do something similar. Because after the strong rally from the March lows of last year to January, it needs to consolidate and rest. It needs to consolidate a lot more than just a month or a few weeks, just like it did back here in 2004. Okay, but that's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is that, you know, the market has formed a more significant top and sells down to the lows. So that's the bearish case. Chart number 7 is a key indicator, the percentage of New York stocks in the New York Stock Exchange above the 200-day moving average. And I think this was in the weekend newsletter. It's basically saying the same thing as the top. This thing got to lofty levels late last year, and you can see that it's finally started to pull back, but notice what happened in early 2004 during that bull market. Notice that it needed to consolidate and pull back all the way down to that 50% area, which took half of the year before it then recovered, and then that the bull market regained its uptrend. So even under the very best case for this market, this indicator probably needs to at least work all the way down to that support zone you could see in gold there. Okay. Again, now under the bearish case, it won't stop there. It'll sell off and break it in red. Okay. So you can study that. You can pause this audio and study this chart. But that's my comments on these two charts. So moving on, let's talk about some other key market indicators. Chart number 8 is the weekly NYSI chart with the 5-3 stochastics overlay. It's been a very good intermediate indicator. Gives you buy and sell signals that typically last 1 to 3 months. It gave a sell signal back in early January, which was a very good sell signal, obviously. And it continues to work its way down, but it is still not yet oversold, as you can see. So it needs to actually get oversold and then turn back up. So nothing's changed there. And I provided this indicator for you tonight in the first part of this newsletter. Chart number 9 is our long-term trending indicator for 401ks. It's the NYSI plotted as a cumulative graph. The S&P 500 is at the top, then the NYSI is the bottom. Your buy and sell signals are simply when the NYSI changes color from black to red. You can see it gave a buy signal in April 1st last year, which was awesome because it kept you in the whole trend. Now it has yet to give a sell signal. As you can see, it's still black. But I think it will very soon because it's really losing momentum here. We have negative divergence, and every day it's going up less and less. So this is one to watch in the very short term. The CCI, which has been pretty good, the 11 CCI, is already starting to cross. It crossed below 100 a couple days ago. But the NYSI itself has yet to cross. So it's a very good indicator. It does whipsaw once in a while. You could see it gave you a whipsaw long back in early 2009. But it also gave you a nice short signal back in June of 2008, which was a great, the huge decline in the market. Anyway, I provided this indicator in this update for you. Chart number 10 is just a longer term view of this indicator. So you can see back further, no reason to discuss that. Moving on, we're going to discuss interest rates. That starts at chart number 11. Chart number 11 is a chart of the 10-year interest rates, 10-year yield, and you can see that it consolidated into a symmetrical triangle pattern and broke out of this pattern in December. It rallied, it pulled back, and it's starting to break out of this little bitty bull flag pattern. It's not really confidently breaking out of here yet, but it's something to watch here and something to keep note of. Chart number 12 is the 30-year bond yield, 30-year interest rates. You can see the same thing, broke out of the triangle in December, consolidated, and now it's trying to break out of another bullish pattern here. So this is something to watch. We want to see if this starts to follow through to the upside. And if rates start really moving up, that's something to really take notice of, because these are long-term rates. Again, the long-term charts haven't changed yet, and that chart number 13 is the 30-year bond yield, and this goes back to 1981. Basically, interest rates have been in a decline since the early 80s. As you know, especially many of you older folks who bought homes in the early 80s and paid 10 and 15% mortgage rates on your homes. So interest rates have been in a secular bear market, and bonds have been in a secular bull market. This long-term downtrend line on the 30-year bond yield here is something to really keep note of. Obviously, we still got a lot of room before we break that. Looks like it's up around 5%. You can see the numbers on the right. 50 means 5%. You have to divide this by 10. I don't know why stock charts does this, but that actually means 5%. But if these long-term trend lines are ever broken, that will have serious ramifications for the long term. So far, everything's okay, but these are, I think, very important charts to keep for the long term. Chart number 14 is the long-term bond, 30-year bond, and you know, it's again, bonds are opposite of interest rates, so it's been on a secular bull market. So the key thing to watch is this uptrend line. If that ever is broken, that is something to really take note of. The era of low interest rates will be over, and the era of easy credit will be over as well. So I just wanted to show you that. We're already 20 minutes in this update, so let me hurry up and get through this. Chart number 15, there's a couple of trade ideas. KBH, I noticed, appears to be setting up into a possible inverse head and shoulder pattern with the resistance at 1650. If it breaks out of that, it measures up to about 2050. So again, that's something to watch. The volume patterns aren't that impressive. It needs to take out 1650 on strong volume to have a chance of that working. Chart number 16 is FNSR. Had a nice rally today, though I think it was earnings induced. Anyway, if it follows through, it has resistance at 1175. And for this one, I just considered a quick trade idea. I may throw it on a watch list, but it's not intended as a swing trade, guys. Moving on, the last part of this newsletter, we're going to talk about gold and gold stocks. Chart number 17 is the Bullish Percent Gold Miners Index, BPGDM. And you can see that it crossed up over the 8-day moving average today for a potential buy signal. So that's something to take note of. If you actually wanted to follow this chart, then you would go long gold stocks in the morning. You would go long GDX. So they gave a buy signal today, and so you would act on it in the morning. This is an end-of-day chart. It doesn't change until the evening. So that's something to take notice of. It's a pretty good trending indicator, though. It does whipsaw from time to time, as you can see. Chart number 18 is the Rinko style Bullish Percent Gold Miners Index. However, this is still far from giving a buy signal, as you can see. It has to turn up, and the CCI and the Williams Percent Oscillator have to cross up. And that hasn't occurred yet. And I have these charts. I've given these dynamic links to you in the first part of the newsletter. Chart number 19 is the 60-minute GDX chart. You could see it broke out of the bull wedge pattern here. And hopefully we get some follow-through to the upside. And lastly, chart number 19 is a daily chart of GLD. This is gold ETF. And you can see gold, as you know, broke out of the symmetrical triangle pattern in early September, had a really strong rally up. And it topped out in early December and has been consolidating and pulling back ever since. It's possibly, the bullish case would be that gold is forming some kind of bullish falling wedge here. To me, if that's the case, it looks like it has work to do. Maybe it rallies up a little bit within this wedge, stops at the downtrend line, which is resistance, then pulls back again. You can see there's major support below in that yellow zone. So if GLD can consolidate a little longer within this wedge, and then eventually break out of it, I think that would be the bullish case for gold. But again, the U.S. dollar also has to top out. But in my opinion, this wedge still needs work. And we'll just have to see how the pattern in the U.S. dollar and everything plays out before we're completely confident in this pattern. Anyway, that does it. And sorry I didn't mean this newsletter to take 23 minutes, but it did. And gave you a lot of information here and some dynamic links. Let's see what happens tomorrow. Talk to you later. Have a great evening.